And there are, did we say six leaders? You said.
Okay. Sweet. Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, man, I am tired this morning. I just came out yesterday, came out of the wilderness. Zach is in the back there. He was with us. We went backpacking into some secret lakes that don't have trails in them. I went with three of my sons and Zach. And it's just like trying to have a reality check here of being back. You spend 3 days out in the untouched wilderness, and then you come back to all of you. No, I'm sorry. But anyways, Bighorn, I just want to also give a plug for Bighorn. I've been the last 2 years to that camp, and one of the amazing things that I've experienced at that camp particularly is how incredibly trained their camp counselors or assistants are in all of those events that are cool, crazy, fun adventures, weaving in the story of God in our lives through those events and debriefing that with the kids and watching these middle schoolers kind of push through their fear and then afterwards unpack all of that with some intentionality and take that with them. I saw the fruit of that even in our backpacking trip with one of my sons, and I'm not going to share that story because I feel like I want to keep it in my bag of tricks for another message, but I saw that breakthrough that they helped him get to last year at camp come to real life, like critical situation where he needed to draw from that. So that's a powerful example of why this camp is significant. I just want to pray and open us up as we head into our message this morning in the Father by God series. So, Lord, we just turn our hearts towards you this morning. Lord, just choosing to be present right here, right now. Wherever we came from this last week, wherever our hearts have been, wherever our minds have been, our joy, our worry, wherever we've been living this last week. Right now we're here, and we turn our hearts towards you, and we call you Father, and we choose to be fathered by you. In fact, we even recognize that we need to be fathered by you. I need it. And I acknowledge there are areas in my life that need you to come in and touch and heal. And so we just, we choose to do that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool, so let's talk about the heart a little bit. Where is the heart in your body? We'll be a little interactive here, right here. You're saying right here, okay, right here. Okay, physical heart, yes. Where's your heart, like your inner heart that the Bible talks about? Nick's saying here and here, kind of your head. And it's interesting, I lived in Eastern Europe for a few years. And in Albania, where we lived, they would talk about the heart being kind of right here. You know, when they're talking about, I felt it in my heart, and they'd hold their stomach. Because when you feel emotion, where do you tend to feel emotion? In your stomach. You know, that nervousness, that excitement. So is it emotion? Is it? It's interesting. And we kind of have these pictures of a heart, you know. This, I don't know why we have that weird kind of symbol for heart. Probably because it looks better than aortas coming out of it and everything. But let's look at a bigger definition of heart that I went to some Bible dictionaries. The Nelson Bible Dictionary, I think, it's a lot of information, but it's just kind of setting a context and a foundation for when we talk about heart. So this writing is going to be kind of small for you, but I'll read it out loud. So Nelson Bible Dictionary says, the inner self that thinks, feels, and decides. In the Bible, the word heart has a much broader meaning than it does to the modern mind. The heart is that which is central to man. Nearly all the references to the heart in the Bible refer to some aspect of human personality. In the Bible, all emotions are experienced by the heart. Love and hate, joy and sorrow, peace and bitterness, courage and fear. The thinking processes of man are said to be carried out by the heart. This intellectual activity corresponds to what would be called mind in English. Thus, the heart may think, understand, imagine, remember, be wise, and speak to itself. There's all these Bible references to these different examples of how the heart works. Decision-making is also carried out by the heart. Purpose, intention, and will are all activities of the heart. Finally, heart often means someone's true character or personality, purity or evil, sincerity or hardness, and maturity or rebelliousness. All these describe the heart or true character of individuals. God knows the heart of each person. Since a person speaks and acts from his heart, he is to guard it well. The most important duty of man is to love God with the whole heart. With the heart, man believes in Christ and so experiences both love from God and the presence of Christ in his heart. So the heart is pretty important, would you say? Pretty critical, especially just to how we live our lives. Question for you guys is, let's talk a little bit about a broken heart. Anybody here ever had a broken heart? It was like 6 people, 8 people. Susan's jumping up and down. She's had a broken heart. Yes. I would definitely say with confidence everyone in this room has had or probably has areas of their heart that are broken even now. Because we tend to take this Hollywood view sometimes of broken heart means you know, there's a romantic relationship and it broke up and so you had a broken heart. Which is only touching one small aspect as we look at the definition of heart, of what we're talking about. What are some of the symptoms of a broken heart that you can think of? Like, what are some ways you could tell that somebody probably has some area, something of a brokenness in their heart?
A sense of depression.
A sense of depression, bitterness. Huh?
Grief.
Discouragement, sadness. Were you gonna say?
All those.
Uh-huh. It's a lot of sadness, depression, grief. Hopeless.
Listless.
Resentment.
Preoccupation.
Just focus. Uh-huh.
Complacency.
Okay. Guarded. See, now we're starting to expand a little from some of the common ideas that we have about brokenness. All of them are right. Fear, somebody said. No?
Fear.
Fearful. Fear. Good. Huh?
Resigned.
Resigned.
You don't
want to
eat.
Don't want to eat. Loss of appetite.
Yeah.
Okay. Sleep all the time. Can't sleep. What about anger? Mm-hmm.
Suicidal.
So all these signs that something is broken in our inner being, in the deepest part of us. So how do you separate those symptoms? Because you're saying those are coming from a brokenness that's in us. At what point is it a symptom of brokenness versus sin? Can you separate those two? So a lot of times we approach this topic of a broken heart, and we talk about how, well, yes, those symptoms are coming because of this brokenness in their life and because of these things that have happened to them. But the manifestation of that brokenness is sin. A lot of it. Some of it might not be. But there's, see how it's all tangled together? And so I think that we, as we walk our lives with God and desire to become more like Christ and even deal with the sin in our lives, a lot of times we skip over brokenness. because we just want to try and stop the sinning and not the source of that. And in our series on Fathered by God, we've been covering some ways that he does that and some aspects of God as Father. The first week, we talked about will you let him and how our view of God, and just even in our opening prayer, being able to turn toward God with our heart and call him Father is a difficult thing for some of us in this room because of what that word has meant in our earthly lives. And so there's actually needing to come to a place of reconciling. God the Father is not in every way like my earthly father. And for some of us, in no way is like our earthly father. He's good, and he's present, and he's involved. And he wants to affirm us, and he wants to heal us, and he wants to correct us where we're destroying our lives. And so the question was, will you let him? As we move into the fathering series. Part two weeks ago, was we had Mark, my friend Mark came and shared about the prodigal son story and what we learn about the father heart of God. Kind of getting that clear vision of who he is, lost or found. Are we lost or are we found? Is God in a posture of hands folded and back turned to us, or is he looking down the road waiting for us to come to him with our brokenness? And we found that he is ready and waiting for us, even pursuing us in many ways. Okay, so this week we're going to talk about how he binds up the brokenhearted. We looked at, a few weeks ago, we looked at this verse, which describes the mission that Jesus came for. And remember, when we see Jesus, we see the Father. He told us that himself. You can know what the Father's like by looking at how I live. And this is what Jesus said his mission was. He quoted out of Isaiah and told the people in the synagogue, this is why I came. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said that was why he came. So we want to look at binding up the brokenhearted and what that means, because I think we need to understand when Jesus talks about the brokenhearted, what exactly is he talking about? Who is he talking about? Because I think there's different kinds of broken hearts I want to present to you. So two questions this morning. First one is, what effect does our brokenness of heart have on our faith? Or on our life, sorry. Okay? So in your life, if you have brokenness, and remember I suggested, and you're all mad at me now, that probably everybody in this room has some kind of brokenness in them, in their hearts. And we hate to hear that, especially men. Men don't want to be broken because there's a weakness there. There's a need there to be fixed out, and that's bigger than they can fix themselves. But I'm still going to say it. There's probably some broken places in you, as there are in me. Okay, who are these two guys? That's me and that's Nick. And I'm wondering, what in the world am I going to do? Because Nick's last week is next weekend. And he's going to take his harp and he's going to leave. And I'm thinking about throwing a spear at him. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so, okay, so this is Saul and David. Okay, they both have hearts, right? They both have broken places in their hearts. If you're not familiar with their stories, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we're introduced to Saul. Saul became the first king of the Israelites. The Israelites wanted a king like all the other nations. And God's like, you're rejecting me as your king, and you want a king. Fine, I'll give you a king. But Saul had a lot of brokenness in him and sin in him. We'll find out, too, that David did as well, if you know his story. He struggled with some major sins and brokenness in his life. But there's a difference between the brokenness of heart that we see in these two. My mission school director in Colorado, Floyd McClung, he's a part of Youth with a Mission, wrote a book called The Father Heart of God. And he talks about Saul in this way. He calls it the Saul syndrome. Okay? So this isn't everybody's path and everybody's collection of brokenness. But with Saul, what we see, even just starting up here with inferiority. So what we're looking at is, how does brokenness in our hearts, the definition of heart that we gave, how does that brokenness affect our life and how we live and actually everybody around us? For Saul, inferiority isn't something you may think that he struggled with, because he was a very prideful king. But actually, when Samuel, the prophet, was told to anoint him as king, the first king of Israel, in 1 Samuel 9, he questioned, Saul questioned Samuel and said, "What, would you anoint me? I'm from the smallest tribe of Israel. How could you anoint me as king?" Now, false humility, maybe. He might have had some false humility. Later on, when after Saul had kind of destroyed the kingdom and had just made so many errors, Samuel went to basically dethrone him. And one of the things that Samuel said there was interesting. Samuel said to him, "Although, Saul, you are small in your own eyes, God had made you king over all the tribes." So there's a little insight there into what Saul thought about himself, too. There's this inferiority that almost drove him to show, "No, I'll show that I'm not inferior." He was super threatened by David. He hated the song that all the women were singing, that Saul kills his thousands and David kills his tens of thousands. Who's this young punk with a harp? And even his own son. Don't worry, every time I talk about David, I'm not thinking of you, Nick. You can start hunting now. Okay, back on track here. So even his own son, so there's Saul. Saul had a son, Jonathan, who led this great victory. And Saul was ready to kill his son in that situation because he was frustrated. And he actually was so frustrated at the battle that he said, "Any man who eats anything until all my enemies are put under my feet will surely die." Well, Jonathan didn't know that. He didn't hear that. And he ate some honey. And all the other men were like, "Oh no, you know, what's going to happen?" And Saul was ready to carry it out. Like, "No, he broke my command. He needs to die." And they're like, this man who just led us to this great victory, you're ready to kill over that. No, we won't let you. And so they stood up for him. But you can see Saul threatened with inferiority. And then there's this independence that comes from that, to where I'm going to do what I need to do. And Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, that chapter is the breakdown, really, where finally he's taken off the throne. The anointing is revoked by God over him. And that's where you see this independence, because he didn't follow the Lord's instruction on how to overcome the Amalekites. And he saved some of the plunder, and he said he was going to sacrifice it later. But he kind of started to go his own way, which led to pride. You know what? Yeah, the Lord has commands for us, but I can call the shots in the end. In fact, even at that battle, at that victory, it says that that Saul set up a monument for himself after the victory. That's kind of prideful. And then there's a fear of man. So when he was questioned about why he didn't follow the Lord's instructions, he said, "I feared the people, and so I did what they told me to do." Fear of man almost always will lead you to disobedience, because you're going to do what you think is going to be right in the people's eyes and not what the Lord is calling you to do. And so all this brokenness is going on in Saul's life. And we don't have a lot of information on how Saul got to be that man. We know that his father was a great warrior, leader, a powerful man, we're told. But we don't know all the stories. Maybe some of that inferiority came from trying to live up to what the name his father had built. So how do we bring our brokenness to the Father and find healing? Okay, so what's the effect it has? Now let's look at David and ask ourselves, how do we do this differently than Saul? Saul would not go in brokenness to the Father and say, I have really screwed up here, and I need to humble myself. But David was different, not because he didn't sin, but because he had a different approach. So for that, I want to read Psalm 51 this morning. And this is a psalm that David wrote after he had fallen into adultery, murder. He had Bathsheba's husband murdered, put out in the front lines so that he would surely die in the battle, so that he could take his wife for his own. And Nathan came to him and confronted him. Nathan was a prophet who came to him. And this is David's response to being called out, to where he's functioning in sin, where he's functioning in brokenness. And so as I read this, I want you to think about in your own life, when you know you're walking in sin, when you know you're kind of operating out of brokenness, all that list of things that you guys gave as symptoms, that we can all identify with some of those things. Is this your posture towards God? David says, have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. Key verse here, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. So there's a difference here in David's posture versus Saul, in his sin and in his brokenness. And he brings up an interesting concept here, that God is close to those who are broken and contrite. And a key word here is contrite. What does contrite mean? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Owned up to what he did, let it out. Mm-hmm. There's some ownership there. Humility. Someone said something. Apologetic, yeah. Remorseful, another word that goes with contrite. So you can be brokenhearted that you tried to, you know, rob the bank at night, but you couldn't get the lock picked on the safe. And you can be really sad about that, you know. And that's just, I'm kind of brokenhearted that I wasn't able to get that millions of dollars out of there. But that's silly. The broken and contrite heart that David has is one of remorse. And it leads you into repentance, which repentance is actually turning the other way, not just being sorry for what you did, but actually ready to turn and go a different direction with God. So you see more of Scripture revealing the heart of God here in Isaiah 57. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Who do you think that's talking about? Isaiah's talking about here. Yes, God. That's an easy question. I'm just checking to make sure you're awake. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. That's pretty profound, actually. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So the holy God, Father, says that he comes to not only dwell in the high and holy place, where he can definitely go and he has a right to be there, but he also comes to the contrite and the lowly spirit to revive the... Why does he come to them? To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. And David knows this because he actually turns to the Father to be healed in his brokenness, like we just read in Psalm 51. Here's another one of the Psalms. And David said, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And so we know, we're familiar with that verse probably mostly, that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. But sometimes we get frustrated because we feel like he's near to the brokenhearted, but I'm not feeling him in this situation where I'm at right now. But there's a journey that he wants to take us on to actually bring that brokenness to him. And there's parts of our brokenness that aren't sin. They're just a result of things that have happened to us. Maybe just an uncontrollable event has happened in our life, and we've suffered a loss in some way. Or maybe somebody has sinned against us, and we haven't sinned, but there's a brokenness in our heart over that. And then there's brokenness in our hearts that we've caused by our own sin, or maybe in reacting in sin to something that's happened to us. So all that stuff is tangled up in this brokenness of heart. And David had a lot of that stuff wrapped up in his heart. And he had things that were done to him that weren't right, that contributed to his brokenness. But what's important now, rather than trying to untangle all of that first, is that he went to God. And that Psalm 51 is what we see, is he's bringing his whole heart before God. Contrite, remorseful, repentant, trusting that this is true, that he's close to the brokenhearted. He's holding on to that as being truth. So importantly this morning is, what is your posture toward the broken places of your heart? And that's a tough question, because some of us are wrestling with, what is the brokenness in my heart right now? So are you pressing forward into letting God father you? Are you kind of acting like you're fatherless in your brokenness? So areas where you may have an unproportional amount of fear might be a sign. You guys listed a bunch of them. You didn't have any problem listing signs of brokenness. Anger. Getting cut off on the freeway, it makes you want to kill somebody for a couple of seconds. What's going on with that? Brokenness that's there. A few things that we can do to start to move towards this as we continue. We're going to continue for several weeks because being fathered by God is one of the most significant aspects of your relationship with him. You can learn all you want to about facts about God, but if you're not walking in relationship with him, being fathered, you can be the king of Israel and your life will completely unravel. And you will damage many people around you if you're just continuing to push through with a broken heart. I had in my old van that I used to have, a piece of tissue paper that covered up the check engine light. Don't live like that, okay? Because the light was on, and it came to the point where the car wasn't worth as much as the $90 to get the light switched off, you know, for whatever's going on there. So I just cover it up, you know. There's things wrong with the engine, and it's going to happen at some point. It's going to break down. But we do tend to live our lives like, ah, I'm guilty of it. Something will flare up where it's like, I really should walk deeper into healing in that area. I really should let the Father bind up the brokenheartedness in me that he said he came to do. But I think I'm just going to keep pushing through and just keep going. And the wreckage continues to happen. So one remedy for that is this simple question: what needs healed in me? I guarantee you, if you took 15 minutes and a piece of paper and a pen this week, you could make some ground on. Like, some of you could just write out right now, you know, the thing. Not everything. You don't have to identify everything that's broken in you. I think it's the grace of God that he doesn't reveal everything that he wants to get to and heal in us. But the next thing, what is it right now that he wants to get to? This is different than sin management and guilt. Oh, I know what I'm totally blowing. That's not the approach. The approach is a loving Father who wants to bring healing in your heart. And so you're asking him, Lord, reveal to me. It might come in that 15 minutes of listening. It might come after you pray for that time the next day when the situation happens that makes that flare up, that brokenness flare up in you. And like I said, some of you might know right now what that is. That's the first step, is even being willing to identify it and not just put the tissue paper over the check engine light, but to say, God, in fact, let's do it right now. Lord, I just pray in this room right now. Maybe it's just the beginning of a conversation that we can pick up on later this afternoon or later this week. Each of us coming before you right now, it's not because you just want us to feel guilty, but it's because you're a good Father and you're growing us up and healing us and binding our broken hearts. So in humility, Lord, we come to you and each of us ask this question: what needs healed in me? What area of my life needs healed? Just pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal that to each of us this morning. And Lord, I just pray you continue to go after that in each of us. Those who are willing, those who are answering that question from week one, yes, I'm willing to let you father me. Would you reveal, starting with what needs healed? In Jesus' name. This is a category that's really easy to think about other people with. Oh man, there's somebody in my life I really wish would go after their brokenness and they really need it. But we have been given a free will over our own life. And so we have a choice that we can make to turn to the Father to be healed in our brokenness. Two more things. Second, communicate with God daily. Simple. Simple steps, Jeff. Yes, because we need to break it down to simple. If you are, and some of us struggle with regular prayer, even regular listening, as we continue through the Fathered by God series, listening to the Lord is critical in a conversational walk with God, in being fathered, especially in this morning's topic of him binding up the broken places in you. And you look at David, you look at the Psalms, you look at them pouring out their hearts, and then receiving the truth from the Lord. A lot of times David will, in a psalm, he will pour out his brokenness. He'll even pour out his questioning what God is like. And then he'll write, but you are like this. And the Lord is reminding him of what he is like, of what he's like. So if you can't do that with another person, like, do you have another person in your life who you walk through this stuff this deep with? Here's, like, being able to actually communicate, here's a broken place in me that I'm walking in right now with God. If you're not able to do that with another person, it's probably going to be a big stretch for you even to go to the Lord with that. And that's actually a great place to start. You've now identified a brokenness in you that God wants to heal so that you can approach God in these deeper ways. So communicating with him daily and then recognizing, what's so hard about that for me? You know, why is this difficult to have a relationship with God where I'm talking about these deeper things? One of the greatest joys that I experience is my time with the elders, the elder team at our church here, talking about what God's going after in our hearts. I love those conversations. Just, wow, you know, this week I was really struggling with this. God's speaking this to me. He's challenging me to take this step. Hey, would you listen together with me to get some more breakthrough? And that's normal. That's normal Christian community, walking with the Father together, and I love it. So that leads me to the last point. Take a step to connect with others. Okay, if this is difficult for you, communicating daily, that helps you identify some ways that you're probably stuck in even having some freedom or feeling able to do that with other people. And that's where you can get breakthrough in the second one by taking the third step, which is walking with others in some way. There's lots of ways that could look. Some of the ways that's looked here at Adventure in our community have been small groups that work through a book or something that actually intentionally takes you through your brokenness. We've had women's groups that have done that, men's groups. But it's sharing. That's the place where you can actually say, I'm having a really hard time. I'm stuck here. Like, I see my brokenness. I know I struggle with fear or anger or whatever it is, but I'm not getting breakthrough with God. And you've got a community of even two or three other people who can seek the Lord together with you for breakthrough in that. That feels vulnerable for some. It's going to just want to stay in your lane and be isolated. But you're not going to move into healing in that way. And it's funny how God kind of eventually, he'll let your life break down enough that he will lead you towards pressing into community if you'll give into that and actually let him father you. Sometimes it looks like just one-on-one. You know, there's somebody you just meet with regularly and you're sharing kind of at that level that I said. Here's where the Lord's going after me right now. He really wants to heal this area of my life and I'm struggling with that. And you guys can be praying together and encouraging each other with that. There's deeper programs that are available. Janice Matthews is a part of Acres of Diamonds, but there's a program called the Genesis Process, which is actually very intentional in doing just this. It actually is walking you with God through a process to find freedom from addiction. And that can be addiction. You can be addicted to fear or anger. You could be addicted to a substance. You could have a sexual addiction. You could have all these different areas. That is a sign that something is broken. And the heart of the Father is not for you to just feel guilty about that and just try to change and try to figure it out and act like you're fatherless in doing that. But it's actually to take walk through a process of being healed. And in the end, you actually come out with this relationship with God where it's easy to talk with him daily. You actually run to him. In my times with God in the morning, one of the first things I ask God is, Lord, what do you want to get at in me today? What are you after? What's on your heart, Lord? Just those types of open-ended questions where he can come in and focus me on what's important for that day. So that's an opportunity. That group that I just mentioned, small groups can form around that material. But honestly, I'll tell you, having been a pastor here for, I think, about 8 years now, we bring this up regularly. these opportunities to take a next step. And rarely do people do it, honestly, respond to it. And what I see is people stuck in their brokenness year after year after year. And occasionally, someone will take the step and find freedom and find a new way of relating to and walking with God. So I'm just putting that out there because it's totally your choice to take a step. But if you're isolated, if you're not connecting with somebody at a deeper level, if one of these things feels like a big challenge to you, at least take that step and then be willing to take the next one after you do that. Because if you don't take any steps towards bringing your brokenness to the Father, he's not going to come and heal you. He's going to continue to pursue you, and he's probably going to continue to let things kind of unravel around you. Or you can turn to him and bring your brokenness to him, like David, and let him come in, because that would be a contrite heart. All right, so you guys can come up. If you want to come up, Nick and Alex. So take some time this week and ask God that question, what needs healed in me? Prayerfully ask that question. Commit to spend time regularly with him in that, and then connect with somebody. If you don't know where to start with that, but you'd like to know more about that, then come ask me. I can help you find the right fit of somebody to connect with, or a group to be a part of, or fill out a connection card if you can't get to talking to me this morning, and I'll reach out to you and we'll figure that out. We'll pray. We'll ask God what's the right fit. So next week we're going to talk about in this process, and it's part of actually the journey that I'm saying God wants to take with you in fathering. One of the most powerful things that he does is he brings his words of affirmation to us. And we see multiple times in scriptures where he gives people a new name, even. And that name holds the identity that he truly created them with, that he made them for. And one of the most powerful things I've seen is when people get to a point where they can actually not only hear, but receive who they are from the Father's voice. And it just burns away all the lies that from our life, from others, that we've told ourselves about who we are. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what the Father's affirming voice looks like, sounds like, how it affects us, how he did that in Scripture, and we'll go after it together. So let me pray. Lord, I just continue to pray that this would be not just this week I'm going to ask where I'm broken, and then next week we're going to do the next thing. But this whole season of talking about you as Father, we would just stay in it long enough to see a change in the posture of our hearts. God, as we dig into your word and learn more about your character, Lord, we would also be experiential in going to you and making time and saying, I'm going to let you father me, and I'm going to say no to this thing that's taking my time up, or this schedule thing that keeps me from just being before you. I pray that you'd be doing that work in every individual here and growing us in experiencing you, fathering us, and binding up our broken hearts. Lord, we bring them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.